Verse 21, and I'm going to go ahead and read the scriptures. Then Jesus went out from there. We're going to talk about where there was. Let me give y'all a second to get there. I don't have a laptop. It does the thing up there, so we'll get y'all there. So Jesus went from there. Where's there? We're going to talk about it. And departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Okay? Where's that? We'll talk about that in a minute. And behold, a woman. Notice region. Notice who does this talking. And a woman from Canaan. Now, Canaan ain't in Tyre and Sidon, but go ahead. We're going to talk about that. Came from the region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Okay? Now, this is very strange for Jesus. He's the Word. But he answered her not a word. And he's the Word. Come on, you're the Word, man. Talk to her. And he's fixing to. He's about to. And I kept saying this word, fixing. And it's that old southern word, fixing. You can go fix your bicycle, or mama can prepare some fixings for us. Lord, just wove this word in. Anyway, he answered her not a word. And his disciples came out and urged him. Said, "Send her away. She's even crying after us." He finally spoke, but it sure wasn't what she was wanting to hear. He said, "I'm not sin except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But then she did something. She came and worshiped him, saying, this is the name of my sermon, three words that will change your life forever. Woo! Three words that will change your life forever. Now, I'm talking to everybody in this room and everybody that's listening through that camera and everybody that will listen in the future. You say these three words with the right heart, that quick, your life is changed forever. She said, "Lord, help me." We still ain't quite got her there where we need her. That's what the Lord said. He said, "Man, wait, she still ain't ready." He answered, said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." I said, "But dude, you're calling this woman a dog. Come on now. That ain't right." But it is. I'm going to show you why. When we were kids and we read this, we were all clowns and we made fun of each other and we busted each other's chops. Jeff knows what I'm talking about. We call each other silly names. And I said, "Well, maybe when I was a kid, when I was young, I said, he's just calling her a silly name. He's like, you dog. Come on, dog." But he's calling her a dog. We're going to look here in a minute why. And buddy, she comes back and she said, "Yes, Lord, even little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And I know my Lord well enough." I believe he was sitting there, he's trying to eat. Here comes this woman. Y'all all know this woman. Y'all have seen this woman today. Y'all know this woman. And he's trying to eat. And I believe he's got a piece of bread in his hand. He got a piece of bread in his hand. And I think the Holy Spirit had him say what he said. And I think the Holy Spirit had her say what she said. And wow, magic happened. Holy Ghost magic happened. I believe a big old smile came over his face. I ain't sure he didn't look down on the ground and see a couple of crumbs he had left. He was the master. He said, "Wow, oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be unto you as you desire." And the daughter was healed from that very hour. Now, do we know the daughter was healed? Yeah. Mark, in chapter 7 of Mark, he talks about it, and he says, and when she came to her house, she found the demons gone, and her daughters were lying on a bed. So how do they know? Well, we know if Jesus said your daughter's healed, he's healed. But at the same time, something had to happen there. Did they follow her home? Did Mark just write by faith? The master said, "No, well, there's no way she's not healed." No, I believe she came back. I believe she did and told her story because she's changed. So let's do a little backstory on this right here. So interesting. This is weird. This is like one of those stories, kind of like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Lord shows me weird stuff about things. What happens in Tyre and Sidon stays in Tyre and Sidon. Mark said that verse 24, he said, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know he was there. Come on, Jesus, what you doing hiding out on everybody? But he said, he couldn't be hidden. You can't hide the greatest thing on the planet. It can't be hidden. So backing up a little bit from this story, you got the whole chapter. We're not going to go there, but I got to set this up. Jesus really bumped heads with the scribes and Pharisees. They went down the road of disagreement. Oh, me. And Jesus just cleaned their clock. He got on to them. See, they got on him about washing their hands and how you Why don't you do like the traditions of our fathers and wash your hands like you're supposed to? And boy, Jesus, again, he busted their chops and he talks about it ain't what goes in a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of a man that defiles him. And by the way, how you're treating your mama and your daddy, you see anybody that curses my W, put to death. And how you're treating your mama. And he went on and on and on and on. And again, just tore them a new one. He tore them up. So much so, on the way home, it says when he went to the house, anytime a little trick, a little thing, anytime you see Jesus going to the house, that's his house in Capernaum. He has a house. They don't publish it a whole lot. You gotta know him and you gotta look for it. When you get back to the house, they're still mixed up about this. They say, Jesus. And one of them calls him out and says, you offended them. Basically, he says, who cares? He said, if you look at one of the message says, forget them. That's almost rude. They like Jesus, I know, talking about. He didn't like the way the scribes and the Pharisees did their deal and how they went about their ways. He didn't care for it. So much so, I think this is where this whole story goes. Because he says, don't you understand? Can't you see that when you eat something, it goes to the intestines tract? And the Bible talks about, it's the only time you see the Lord talking about having a bowel movement. That's what he's talking about. It goes through your intestines and it ends up being evacuated from your body. It ain't what you put in. It's what's in your heart, the adulterous, the murderous, the lies, the deceit that's in your heart that defiles you. That's what he talks about. Not what you eat. Not if you eat hands with grease or mud on them. That ain't going to hurt you. That ain't what he's talking about. So much so, I think, so, well, I tell you what, guys, it's pretty hot around here. You know, I think he stirred them up. He said, well, I'm going to go on a little beach vacation. I really think it was a faith field trip. He said, we're going to go up to Tyre and Sidon. And I know them disciples, they looked at each other and said, Lord, don't you know how far away that is? Y'all need to see something. And I'm going to show you something up there. Do you realize that was 30 to 50 miles away? He took his disciples on a, I think he kind of painted the picture of being a beach field trip. You know, the coast trip there, they got some really fresh fish. But at the same time, it's like, no, y'all going to walk a 100-mile round trip, but you're going to see faith that you've never seen before. And there's two times that Jesus says, great is your faith. Two times. Wouldn't it be something if both of them were not Gentiles? The Roman centurion soldier said, just say the word. My servant's sick. Just say the word. Don't have to come into my house because I ain't worthy. And then this woman here gets the great faith prize for what she's about to do. Now, why is this story in the book? For us. For us. If she can have great faith, guess what? We can have great faith. The Bible says without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. You want to put a smile on his face? Just believe what he said. Woo, believe what. You want to break his heart? Don't let him talk to you and don't believe what he said. You want to make him grin? Just believe that he is. He is who he said he is. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I'm looking for him. Boy, am I looking for him. Ah. All right. So they went on a field trip. They walked a long way, and they're going, Jesus, that's a long way up there. And that's them heathens that live up there. Why are we going? And I see Jesus, what goes on in Tyre and Sidon stays in Tyre and Sidon. It's one of these trips. It's seven little measly small written verses out of the whole book of the Bible. But it's one of the places where you get to see what great faith is. Y'all feel me? Y'all see this? It's interesting stuff, man. So why is this story in the book? He wanted to see how faith is demonstrated and what the spirit of faith is, and that faith never gives up. If anybody ever had an excuse to give up, this woman did. She had every mark against her that could be made toward a person that wanted something from our holy God. She had every mark that she could have, and she yet was deemed out of the two people of the whole Bible that had great faith. Isn't that awesome? So, the kind of faith that passes all ethnic and cultural doubt. Faith that relies only on one person, the only true living God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Great was her faith. So let's pay attention. Let's pay attention. So whether this was a getaway vacation or a faith field trip, it's a great object lesson for not only the disciples, but for us too. Who believes me? Wave your hand at me if you believe me. All right. So why was the daughter in this condition? Let's talk about that. Let's just take a minute, and this is where I don't want to get off into weeds too bad, but we got to know some things. We got to see some things, because what I'm fixing to tell you is like reading the newspaper of today. We're in the same boat. We're in the same constraints and confinements of what happened in Tyre and Sidon as today as we are back then. It says, this lady was a Canaanite, a Syrophoenician, not a Jew, a Gentile. And see, she's talking about her daughter being vehemently demon possessed. Now, stop right there. Most people, especially religious people that know just enough about the Bible and God, I've heard it from people. Man, wasn't it something? Isn't it something how those people dealt with demons back then? Oh, aren't y'all glad? Aren't y'all glad that we don't have to deal with that today? No. What are you talking about? Why do you think if there was no demons around today, there would be no demons in the Bible? The only reason demons are in the Bible was because it shows us how to deal with demons and evil spirits today. Who understands that? Who sees that? I mean, I'm telling you, if they weren't around today, this is, I had somebody tell me, and I just looked him in the eye, just stared him down with the truth of God and said, I don't believe that, and I believe you're wrong. He believed that the ministry of the apostles died with the apostles because it don't say anywhere in the Bible that anybody but apostle did a miracle. Too late. Too late. In fact, you want to hear me speak in tongues? Come here. It wouldn't be in the Bible if it ain't for us today. Who understands that? The only reason this woman is in the Bible, 7-8 verses, recorded by two people no less, is for us to get from it what we need today to get through what's going on today. And that's why it's in there, and that's why I'm talking about it. All right. So why was this woman's daughter in this condition? Well, this is where it gets kind of weird. Evil unseen influences. Raised in it. I believe personally, now if I say stuff like that, you ain't got to believe it. I believe what happened was, she had some kind of demonic fit a few nights before. Who knows? Busted the windows out the building if they had windows. You know, turned over the whatever. Just had a fit. And I believe this woman got by herself. And I believe she said, if there is a God of Abraham, if there is a son of David, if I could just get to him, because she heard about him. That's faith right there. She heard about him. And she said, if I can just somehow, but he's at least 50 miles away. He does his work down in Israel, Jerusalem, Capernaum, that area. And I believe she had heard, because she said, have mercy on me, thou son of David. Well, she don't even know who, does she know who David was? I don't think so. She don't know nothing about that. She don't understand, but she knows that she heard somebody say that somebody else said that and got their self fixed. Got made right by saying the right word. Okay. So she heard that. See, unclean spirits are brought on by an ungodly, heathen, idol worshiping lifestyle. Wow. See, demons are still around today. Think about it. If we can be influenced by the Holy Spirit, come on now. If you even try not to, you want to just lift your hands and you want to say, praise the Lord, or whatever you do, you're being influenced by the Holy Spirit. And if you can be influenced by the Holy Spirit, don't tell me others cannot be influenced by an unclean demonic spirit. And that's what's going on in this world from the White House to the jailhouse as we speak right now. Demons. Who said it in the Bible that in the last days seen unclean spirits multiplying like frogs? I mean, come on now. It's just happening. You do what you want, say what you want, think what you want, but demons are making and driving the mess that's going on in this world right now. They didn't change. They got worse. All right, let's keep going. So, this is a perfect illustration of someone who had no appreciation for something important or special. As much as it don't sound right, like a dog, like a pig. I mean, it don't sound right. Nobody wants to be called pig or dog. But this is exactly how this woman lived. You say, how do you know that? Well, we're going to prove it right here. Look over at Leviticus chapter 18. See, they both, her and the mama, grew up in this. And probably demons didn't bust mama's chops as bad as it did the daughter's chops. You know what I'm saying? This stuff goes down to the generations, and you may have generation after generation that can kind of deal with it and just live an unholy life. And because see, I don't care what you say. Grandparents, it matters to your grandchildren how you live and how you act your life and what you do with what the time that God has given you. It matters to your offspring, to the generations that are here to follow you. My mother is the poster child for this. I'd probably be a drunkard and living in a jail somewhere if it hadn't been my mama getting up out of bed and breaking the demonic cycle of influence that was in our family's life. My daddy did the same thing. I'd probably be addicted to meth. I don't even know how to speak and how to talk about. If it wasn't for my parents, stop devil, stop the devil. They stopped the devil in the generational, and now we're in the ministry because of what my mama and my daddy did. Give the Lord a hand clap right there. That's worth it right there. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So, why is this woman in the book? Well, he wants to see the great faith. See, Jesus entered the house, and wasn't nobody supposed to even be in there. And this woman, and we all know this woman. I could paint you a picture of her. She was mimicking like a parrot what she had heard, you know. She was, she wasn't doing that, but she was, oh, thou son of David. She was jibber jabbering, probably in her accent, what she had heard, and it didn't work, and it didn't work, and it didn't work, and Jesus didn't answer her. Just now that she's going to something, but this is still great faith, though. You're doing all you know with all you got. Think about a foreigner, a foreigner. Busting them while they're trying to eat, probably trying to eat, just interrupting, calling him stuff. She didn't even know what she's calling him. Help my daughter. I'm setting the story up so you can see. So, if you look at Leviticus 18, I'm just going to just right quick go through this. This is Moses speaking. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. In other words, I'm the Lord your God, not these whack jobs that they've been worshiping. Say, I'm the Lord your God. It's me. I'm the only one. It's me. I'm the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land in Egypt, where you dwell, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where's this lady from? She's a Canaanite. The land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you to, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and my ordinances and walk in them. I am the Lord your God, not them, not Baal, not Molech. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgment, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. He's telling them, quit. Don't look at these idol-worshipping fools. I am the Lord the God. I am the Lord your God. Then he goes on, and y'all read this when you get home, because it's PG-13, even if it wasn't in there. You know, they're talking about uncovering the nakedness of, and you just talk about any perverted family relationship going wrong is right there, even down to the cats and the dogs, okay? It's a crazy mess. You know, we have the euphemism today, oh, they're sleeping together. No, if they were just sleeping, it'd be okay. It's what they're doing when they should be sleeping, you know. And that's what that talking about, uncover the nakedness of this one and that one and this one and that one. This one and that one and that one and this one and the dog and the cat and the whatever and the mom. It's just turn your stomach if you read all that. And then it just flat out says he's against homosexuality. You just read it yourself. I didn't say it. You know, it's right there in that chapter. And he said, and don't do this like the Canaanites did it. Don't do this like the Canaanites did it. It even gets worse than that. Verse 21, the Lord wants me to say this. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech. Now, what in the world does that mean? It's just right out of the clear blue. He's talking about all this crazy relationship stuff that's just this not right. Then all of a sudden he talks about somebody called Molech. Molech was, he was this bull thing that had a bull head in a man's body, and he had his arm stretched out, and they built a fire in him, and people sacrificed their babies to this thing. Come on now. Are you serious? See, pass through the fire. That's like don't uncover the nakedness of. He just, you know, they're toning it down a little bit, but you get the idea. Now, what are we doing today? What are we doing today? We're doing the same thing. What are we doing today? Some of these crazy northern, I'll just say it, Lord, I'm not going to hang here, I'm going to say it. Some of these crazy northern state, liberal state hospitals that just do all they can to be abortionists. They heat their hospital with the remains of these babies. They have these heat exchangers that they take the medical waste, and they heat the hospital with the medical waste, which includes dead babies that they aborted. It's the same mess that was going on all those thousands of years ago today. It's happening today, the same mess. And not only was it the same mess, it's the same demons that's being worshipped. All these demons that you had to see. See, Baal, he was the fertility god. That's just a nice way of saying sex. Let's just say it. I mean, you know, all these euphemisms. Anybody know what a euphemism is? Is someone passed away? No, they died. They're buried. You know, they're dead. But we say they passed away because that sounds sweeter. You know, the fertility god, another sex god, the god of sex, right? The god of sex. He was over that. So they pressured, these demons pressured these people to do all this crazy mess in worship. Get out of here. Get out of here. Are you crazy? And again, this hadn't stopped. It's going on today. It's happening right now. And don't you dare say you shouldn't be doing that because you're the one, the weird one. No, you are worshiping Baal and you're serving Molech by killing your babies. And it goes on to say, defile not yourself with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. See, this woman had been vomited out of Canaan, her forefathers, and now they're displaced and they're in Syrophoenicia. She is proof of the pudding that this is what happened. They were vomited out. Now she's living way away in a whole nother land. Syria, Phoenicia, modern day Lebanon is where she's at. She's miles from home. Why? Because of her forefathers acting like fools and worshiping devils and doing things they should never do. You say, well, it's my body. I'll do what I want to. And you'll pay the price and you'll open up the devils of the demons of hell. Well, it ain't bother me. Well, one day it might bother your offspring. You need to think more of your offspring and more of your children, your grandchildren. You should think of yourself. See, it's what Father said. He said, lest the land vomit you out when you defile it. And if you think about it, what was Jesus talking about before they made this field trip? A man defiling himself. It was in his heart. See, it's a field trip, man. He's talking about this. Y'all remember, Lord's open. Everybody heard of Jezebel? You ever heard of Jezebel? Married Ahab. Jezebel was a princess, the king's daughter of Zidon, the same place we at here. Her lifelong mission was to convert the whole countryside to worshiping Baal. See, Baal was over the weather, you know, the crops and the rain and the fertility. Sex, you say it. It's sex. And remember what Elijah did? He shut down the heavens for 3 years. He shut them down. He shut them down for 3 years. And he prophesied. And I have the most warped sense of humor. He said, Jezebel, he said, dogs are going to eat you and drink your blood. And sure enough, they did. It was a dog eat dog world, wasn't it? I had to say it. I'm sorry. It's a dog eat dog world back in that day, you know. And to be eaten by a dog, that's the worst thing that could ever happen to you. You're a princess. You're the princess of a whole kingdom. You're the queen. Ahab just didn't wear the breeches. He didn't wear the pants. And again, we can go there, but there's a spirit of Jezebel going on in this nation today where the demasculinization of mankind. It's all happening, guys. It's all right here. If you just read it, anyway, let me keep going. So remember when it says it's like a dog returning to his vomit? Well, see that you got vomited out of the land because of the stuff you're doing, and you're the dog and you're going back to, anyway, y'all seeing all that. So a woman of Canaan, it's easy to just glaze over that. But no, she had generational mess going on inside of her. And say she needed fixing as much or more than as her daughter needed fixing. So what did her daughter do? Who knows? Did mama sell her into prostitution? I don't know. But I guarantee you, she participated. So did mama participate. And we got some big issues. All right. I didn't do too bad on that, did I? I kept it PG, not even PG-13. I was trying to go there. So Jesus ignored her first. He wouldn't even say anything to her. This is the first written account that Jesus did not respond to somebody who spoke to him. First time. It's so unlike him. What can we learn from this? She was, O Lord, thou son of David. Okay. That was not a phrase common to her or her people. It's not even something she should know about. at the saying of this, this didn't automatically put her in some kind of position to get something from God. And it's not that Jesus didn't want to help her. Why didn't she want her to have what she was asking? There just needed to be some adjustments in how she was thinking. You know, she thought, I do this. I'll pull that slot machine, chicka, 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 bing, 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 and I'll get what I need. And I'll just come by enough to touch him and I'll go my way. No. That's not how he works. You know, this is hard to say, but I'm going to say it. God don't hear every prayer. He don't hear every prayer. He does not. So what are you talking about? He does not hear every prayer. I'm going to give you, there's plenty of examples. But in Matthew 6, verse 6, it says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions. What was this woman doing? Using vain repetitions. Just in vain. Just, oh, David, son of David. No, son of David. Yeah, son of David. That's how I say. David or son? Oh, son of David. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy. That's what I say. It's okay. Son of David, have mercy on me. No, that ain't how this works. No. Do not, when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, as the Canaanite tried to do, as the Canaanite lady tried to do. For they think they shall be heard, so they're not being heard. For they're much speaking. See, just much speaking don't get God's attention. Borrowed, hollow religious phrases are a no-no with our Heavenly Father. Just repeating something you heard somebody else say is unproductive. It's like saying abracadabra, sesame, open sesame. You know, what, Kalamazoo, hoo-hoo-hoo. What, saying something that you heard somebody else say, you make something else happen, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. Repeating this may work for others. And there's a case in the Bible where the blind man said the very same words, and Jesus stopped, and he got his sight. Well, he was in covenant, and he knew who he was, and he was saying them, very important, we're going to talk about, from the heart. He was saying it from the heart. Whew, man, wow. See, she was not a believer in the God of Abraham. Not yet, anyway. To her, this was a vain, empty, useless phrase to try to get something. And Jesus warned us about it. He said, don't pray like the heathens. Don't do this. They're not heard for much speaking. She is the heathen in this case, as bad as it sounds. See, if we remind ourselves who we're talking to, he sees through everything. He knows. He knows when you're being real with him. He knows. He knows everything. When your heart is right, he'll hear you. And you know what? She made some adjustments. And here's something real interesting here the Lord showed me. He's eternal. The Bible says 1,000 years is a day to him, and a day is 1,000 years. And sometimes when we ask the Lord something, he merely takes a breath before he answers you. And his timetable is a little bit longer than ours. You know what I'm talking about? So just because he answers you, doesn't mean he ain't got an answer. A lot of this time, he's waiting on you to get in position to when he does answer you, how will you respond in what he says? See, he's got you all figured out. He's smarter. He's smarter by far than you ever think he was. And he cares that much about you and your future and you getting fixed and you making it and you being blessed beyond measure that he has for you. He's really smart and he knows the best way to answer you. So why did he ignore her? Why did he ignore her? Well, other than waiting on her to get straight, it has to do with the covenant. See, she wouldn't quit, though. And this is the great sign of faith. So she heard of him. She went and found him. She was super persistent. And she would not be offended. He's about to call her a dog in front of everybody. And she still ain't offended. But here's why he didn't answer. He said he's only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, there's a whole lot of feel-goodism going on today that we're all brothers and God's all our Father. That's not it. That is a deception of the devil to make everybody think just because we're of the same human race born on this planet that God is our Father and every other person is our brother and sister. That is not true. Right here, Jesus proves it wasn't true. See, he's only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he's fixing to tell her that the children will eat first. And we know Paul's coming someday to feed every one of the Gentiles. But it ain't time yet. Okay? He was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, he's aware of his ministry mandates, his constraints, and his limits as to what he can, and much don't like to say it, can't do. You say, well, Jesus could do anything. Hold on. You'll never hear him say, I can't do anything. But in this case, it was not legally. He said, it's not right. It's not meat, M-E-E-T. It's not right for me to give the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. See, that tells him right there, if I do this, I'll be doing something wrong. I'll be doing something wrong if I feed you the children's bread, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Who sees this? Is it just me? Did I just see this? Am I the only person who sees this in this building? He was not supposed to do that. But yet you got to know his heart and you got to know our Father. He wants everybody helped. He wants everybody to come to the knowledge of salvation and to be fixed. We got a conundrum here. How are we going to get through this? I know Jesus. I know him. I know his heart. He's sitting there going, whoa, this is faith. I'm feeling the faith. I felt the faith 50 miles away. 50 miles away. It was like, moom, 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 moom. He's feeling it in his heart. He says, guys, load up. We're fixing to walk 50 miles. Why? I'll show you when we get there. The faith was pulling him in, but yet we got a conundrum. What are we going to do here? Because she ain't supposed to even see this. How in the world are we going to do this? Well, let's keep talking. Let's keep going. See, he's aware of his constraints. He knows the scope of what he's supposed to do. You're not a child of God just because you're on the planet. Wow. Jesus even told the religious leaders, I'm not even going to say this, but he says, no, say it. He even told the religious leaders today that they're of their father, the devil. Now, could you ever, that's bad. I mean, would you ever, like if you didn't even know Jesus, would you think he'd ever say that? I don't know. That's strong. You're of your father, the devil. I'm not even going to say that. So God was not the father of those preachers and priests. Come on now. See, the decisions of parents, grandparents do affect the lives of innocent children. This young daughter's forefathers had rejected God. And they swapped God for Baal. She was born in this mess and had probably, like I said, participated in something very embarrassing and off color the night before and had a demonic fit. But I want you to look somewhere. Look over in Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. This is Paul. He's writing, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles, that's what this lady was, a Greek, a Syrophoenician, who were called the uncircumcision, which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, right here, verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. She was not in this group. And strangers from the covenants of promise. She was definitely a stranger. Having no hope and without God in the world. But right here. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. That's what the Lord showed me. We're brought to him. Notice what she did? She brought him to her. See, she had this totally backwards. But now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He's our peace, the Bible says. And he's made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. See, that's what there was between him and her. See, there was a middle wall of partition. There was no peace. See, the mess that she had participated in for hundreds of years had brought her to a place of no peace, aggravation, torment, no rest. Now our children are going through it too. See, there's only two spiritual families on earth, and you don't want to be in the other one. That's why Jesus says, marvel not that you must be born again. Wow. Bless him. So this is where I want to get really, this is where it gets real touching to me. So what did Jesus finally say to her? What did he say to her? He said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And this is where she did something that I don't think anybody else would have. Instead of going, who you calling the dog, big boy? I mean, you know, that's what most people. The very first time we were turned away, a lot of us today were turned away, we'd have went our way and said, well, I just guess it wasn't God's will. You know, I just don't guess it was God's will. I'll just go on my way. No, no, no. She was not leaving until something was fixed in her life. She was not leaving until something happened in her life. When she fell down to the ground and worshiped him, she said the three words that would change the direction of her life. Lord, help me. Wow. That was the breakthrough. She'd been, like I say, offended, or could have been offended, fourth time, calling her a dog this time. She just goes lower, man. That's why she's in the book. That's why they walked 100 miles to see this right here. 100 miles. You say, well, maybe they're on donkeys. I just don't think there was just 13 donkeys. I just don't think, I knew Jeff would laugh if I said that. I don't think there's on donkeys. I don't. I think they were walking. I think they had a cane and they were talking the whole way. And he was reiterating what had happened before they left. And then he says, well, look, let's get up here and let's kind of rest a little bit. There's some stuff you're going to learn up here. But why are we going to this heathen nation? Just trust me. Trust me. We got some father's business up there to talk about. We got some father's business. This is why she's in the book. Instead of getting offended, mad, embarrassed, bitter, she just goes further down, gets lower, humbles herself even more. Wow. And she worships. This is our example. Look, if you're pushing for something and it's not working, you change. God don't need to change. He's perfect in everything he does. You humble yourself. Lord, help me. These three words can change your life if spoken with a right heart and a right attitude. How do I get where I am to where I need to be? See, she woke up to who she was, finally, who she was, a dog, sounds bad as that sounds, in light of who he is. But you know what? We still ain't quite there yet. She's just to the point now where we can get something done. Okay? All right? He says in Mark, let the children be filled first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Wow. There is so much revelation. I want to just preach just on that, but I think I'll get this across the next 5 minutes and we'll be done. See, if you look at what Jesus is saying, what does she need? Healing and deliverance. What did he call that? Children's bread. Think about this. So, children's bread equals healing and deliverance. Wow, think about that. Now, think about this. Bread, every day, give us this day our daily bread. He says us to pray that every day. Bread is a staple. Bread is not, Lord just spoke to me. Bread is not Mark's bread pudding. Y'all have that last one. Wasn't that good? But it's like a bunch of dogs eating that bread pudding. I come back, it's gone, man. It's gone. Had a little chocolate doodads in it. Yeah. Anyway, bread is average stuff. In other words, we went to Longhorn. Hey, y'all do want some bread, don't you? Yeah, give us some bread. You know, you see what I'm talking about? Bread is bread. Everybody had bread. I believe Jesus was eating bread when she walked in. You don't say it, but I just believe he was. Bread is like, yeah, we all got bread. Bread is natural. Bread's not even rare. Everybody's got to eat bread every day. Yet Jesus is calling bread, the children's bread, healing and deliverance. Whoa! Come on, who sees this? Y'all got to see this. It gets better though. See, this ain't talking about dessert. Ain't talking about mama's chocolate pudding. Ain't talking about that. He ain't talking about that. He's talking about just the staple of everyday life. The children's bread is healing and deliverance. Every day. Why would you think you wouldn't get some? Wow. It's commonplace. This bread belongs to you. It's yours. Man, woo. The Bible says he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Think about that. Psalms 23. If he prepares the table, you know there's bread on it. Come on. But it even gets better than that for the children's bread. Nobody eats bread alone. Come on now. Remember, the Bible says you can't live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So with that word, see, that there's more sustenance. So Lord, I'm different. So, hey, won't you slather some of that Holy Ghost, Gloria, raspberry, healing on my bread. You know what I'm saying? In other words, bread ain't the only thing you eat. On Father's table that he's prepared is everything you would ever need. How about some peace? How about some gravy peace on that bread? The peace of your gravy on my bread. Come on now. Work with me. Lord, tell me something. Anything I say that you get excited about, Matt, it will work in your life and come to fruition. You've got to get excited about what Father God has said for it to work in your life. I keep with Vanessa. She'll be kind of on too. I say, well, hey, are you still excited about me? She'll be kind of, I ain't going to go there. You got to get excited about what Father says if you want it to work in your life. And I'm excited about the table he has prepared for us. My God. If it just had bread on it, it'd be enough. But it's got everything you'd ever need. Hey, give me an extra helping of that wisdom over there. I need some wisdom. Have you ever done this? Like, my mother-in-law was so sweet. I wish she was here. She's visiting. She's at the lake somewhere. But we kind of cut her grass for her. And she cooks this big old meal. And I don't need no big old meal, Don. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's so good. So I'm sitting there, and I eat all of that. But I'm left with a little bit of this. I said, let me go even my plate up again. And, you know, I just got to even up because I got some left over. I got too much meat and a little bit of potatoes left. So I got to go get some more of the beans. And we got to put some gravy on that bread. That's how Father's table is for you. It's everything you'd ever need. And it's a buffet. Eat till you can't see straight because that's what he's prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. My God. Who sees that? Wow. Mm. So what did she say about those crumbs? Wow. This is why she's in the book. This is why they walked 100 miles. She fell down and worshiped him and basically said, I ain't leaving. I'm not leaving. And Jesus is not going to turn somebody away who's worshiping him. Now that's the calling card right there. You, a broken and contrite heart, I'm hearing him right now. He will not turn away. Now he'll turn his ear to some hollow religious mess. He is not obligated to a heart that's deception. He's not obligated as much as he wants to. He's not. You got to get real with him. You got to get down with him. You got to humble yourself. You got to get real with yourself before you get. For instance, do you think if that phrase didn't mean anything to her, you think it meant anything to God? No. It didn't. Didn't mean anything to him. We must learn to lay hold of what's been freely given to us. See, if the mother wasn't fixed, there's nobody trying to fix the daughter. Mama's got to get fixed first. She's got to get fixed first. She said, yes, Lord, this is it. Even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. All right, so I have a Doberman pincher named Bella, and she loves when I eat. Because no matter what we got, I won't give her a bite of it. If Vanessa, don't give her that. I got scripture on it now. I got scripture on it, brother. I'm talking about if it's a little bite of steak, I say, hey, darling, because she's just so sweet. She's just the sweetest thing. She's getting old. She used to be all mean. That's a little dog the other day. I used to protect the dogs across the street from her. I mean, she's a big Doberman pincher with her ears and everything. And I said, no, Bella, come here. She's real obedient. And the other day, she ran up there, and these little yappy dogs chased her down the street with her tail. I said, oh, darling, you're embarrassing me. She was 10 years old this year, you know. But I got scripture on her, Vanessa. Even the dogs get crumbs from the master's table. Vanessa says, well, you feed her something bad, you're going to clean up after. That's what she's thinking right now. Are you still excited about me? I'm excited about you. Yeah, okay, all right. She says, yes, Lord. Truth, Lord, the King James says. Reveals what? She agreed with him. She agreed with him. You're right. I'm wrong. This is humility. This was her breakthrough. The last change she needed to make, see, God resists the proud. He does. Ooh, he does. He resists the proud but gives grace, help, gifts to the humble. After this, she was rewarded with the greatest compliment that one can get from the Lord. Great is your faith. Wow. I mean, he would get on the sky. He'd get on his disciples and says, oh, you have little faith. You know, he just get on to them, you know, and that's his men. You know, that's his entourage. That's his inner circle. Yet, but he's calling a idol worshiping Gentile says she's got great faith. That's not put in the book that, for no reason. That's for us to see. That's for us to see what makes him smile, what makes him happy, the kind of faith that believes beyond any obstacle. That's what this is about. Her faith impressed the Lord. I believe he was grinning and smiling. We see it in her accepting and believing what she heard about him, her going to find him, her great persistence, humility. You see the mercy of God right here. And the faith of this woman is it transcended covenants, time, every offense, even distance, and it remote controlled demons. That's a big deal there. Don't overlook that. See, there's something about somebody blind wanting to see. There's somebody that's possessed by a devil that I didn't go there. I could have preached all morning about that mess that was happening with Baal in Leviticus 18. But these demons, they like that. I wouldn't want to just go there, but that was fun. I mean, that was what they did. They indulged in that. Remember when the children of Israel, when Moses went to the mountain, they went right back to it, you know, because a lot of the Egyptians came with them. They went right back to it. Isn't it funny how a calf come out of the, anyway. This goodness. So to have somebody who may or may not want a demon removed from them, remote control removed, that's a big deal. Don't overlook that. I do believe mama and daughter talked and said, I can't do this no more, you know. I just wish we had some way around this. Not that she didn't want to do what was going on. She just didn't want the effects of it. See how this works? Until mama got right, daughter could never be right. See, when she fell down and worshiped him and said, Lord, help me. This is when the Holy Spirit gave her something to say. Now, this is real important for us. I don't think she could ever thought on her own when she said, even the little dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. See, I think the Holy Spirit told her that she worshiped. Think about this. You've got a problem. You don't know the answer, but my faith's not going to let me leave. You fall down, you worship, and we're at a standstill right now. We're at an impasse. It's not going to change. This will be here tomorrow evening, this situation, until somebody drags me out of here clawing and kicking. And if they do that, I'm going to get outside and do it. I'm not stopping. See, and when she came to that point, guess what? What shall we say to these things, the scripture that Paul came out of her? The Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, yeah, but even the crumbs fall from the master's table and the little dogs get to eat it. See, that's exactly what happened. This wasn't supposed to happen, but it could happen. Think about it. In other words, you don't make a big special meal to feed the dog. Throw it Make, like all that food we had last week, just take it out there in that field and throw it in the field. That ain't gonna happen. It's not right. But yet it could happen in the fact that some of that could fall to the ground and us not even realize that we dropped it and something eat it. Does that make sense? This is what happened here. On paper, it could happen, but it wasn't supposed to happen. But it happened. And the Holy Spirit, the only little crack in the door that we could get around this, that I'm only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The only way around this is for her faith to realize the crumb is all she needs. Wow, that's all she needs. Sounds a little bit like a mustard seed, doesn't it? Whoa! If you have faith like a mustard seed, you'll say something. Well, she had faith like a little crumb of a piece of bread that fell from the master's table. And what'd she do? She said something. She said something. And Mark said, for this saying, he recorded, Jesus said, your demons are gone. I think the Lord said, oh, I can work with you right there. I can't bust through the door of another covenant with a Gentile group, but I can work with that right there. That's mustard seed faith. I believe on the way home, that was what you call mustard seed faith, crumb faith. It gets better, though. Jesus says, all I need is a couple of crumbs to work with. Crumbs of faith. And all she needed was a couple of crumbs to heal and deliver her daughter. Think of that now. Healing and deliverance is the children's bread. Ha. Yeah. All I need is a few crumbs. This is mustard seed faith. She was so strong and convinced in what Jesus could do for her, she didn't even need a whole slice. Think about that. Woo! Just a few crumbs, just some leftovers. Just throw me some leftovers. Take your elbow and knock a leftover off on the table. This happened yesterday. Miss Wilson made the chocolate cake that I like so much. There's a piece of it. In my last bite, Mom, I picked it up and I was talking to Vanessa and it fell off my fork and hit the ground. And there's Bella. And Vanessa said, "Don't let her eat that chocolate." And I said, "I got scripture on it." And I almost took it away from her though, almost, because it's that good, that chocolate cake that Miss Wilson makes. It's so good. I know Daniel's going, "It was just a little bite, Daniel. I know chocolate's not good for a dog. I know. It was just one little bite of chocolate cake. It's all it was, son. All it was. All it was." So think about this. If just a few crumbs and leftovers would do that for a Gentile, what would a whole slice of bread do for you, my Lord in heaven? He's the bread of life, guys. Come on now. Don't y'all know that? So just a few crumbs of bread healed her daughter miles and miles away from where they were staying. Think about the power, authority, and anointing to accomplish this. What would a whole slice or the whole loaf do for you? He does prepare a table, and he said, "Write this down with all the fixings." Because if you eat all his fixings, guess what? You'll be fixed. He'll fix you on the inside. And he'll fix your children too if you'll let him. My God, that's him. He knows exactly what we need. See, Jesus is the bread of life. Say this with me. Say, "Lord," that's, I'm going to say it like you mean it now. Don't be vain repetitioning on me here. I'm not going to call y'all heathens. I'm playing. Say, "Lord, teach me, show me. I'm more than willing to change." Say, "Lord, please help me." My God. When you get to a stopping point, just worship him. Ask the Lord for help. You'll know what to do. He'll show you, but more important, he'll show you what to say towards your situation. See, when you say, you release the power of what was said to you. Does that make sense? If Father God tells you something, in other words, he says, "Man, I'm going to help you. Things get tough at work, you know. I'm going to help you." Well, I better be saying, "The Lord's going to help me. He's already told me he would help me." What did I do? I released the power in what he told me he would do for me. Does that make sense? So what are you doing? I'm planting. The Lord says, "I've already healed you." Oh, thank you. Well, you better repeat after him. "The Lord has already healed me." Woo, give me another slice of that living bread, that living bread. I'm going to drink a big old drink of that living water. You'll know what to do. He'll show you what to say. So great was her faith, she experienced remote control, demon removal. Last thing I'm going to say. So if a heathen little dog lady, that's what the Lord called her, can get what she needed with just a mere crumb, what can a blood-bought child of God receive from God with the whole loaf sitting on a whole table with all God's fixings? Stand with me. How'd I do, guys? Is that okay? I'm not too long, am I? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Now, 11:57. Bow your head with me. I just want to do this, babe. Father, I love you so much. I tried to do just what you showed me. You told me this morning in the shower that I was free from my notes. Thank you. Thank you for the freedom and the wisdom and the words you gave me to say, Father. Right now, bow your heads with me. I just want to just ask anybody to a spot in their life that could be a sticking spot or just something that's been happening. You're just not where you want to be. You hadn't got what you want to have. First, ask anybody if they've never entered into this covenant with our Lord, with our Heavenly Father. See, Jesus made the covenant, and we get to get in because of him, because he can never break the covenant. He can never mess up. So if there's anybody out there that just wants to be born again, it's real easy to do. But I think the Lord's leading me to do this. Just everybody here say this. Say, "Lord, help me. I need you. I need you as my Savior and my Lord. I've heard about you, and I believe You are who you said you are. I believe you died, and I believe you were raised from the grave. And I ask you to make me new. Forgive me for everything I've ever done wrong. Present to me, to the Heavenly Father, a new creature in you, free from all sin, all idols, all bad habits, all addictions. Say this, say, devil, I denounce you. I command you in Jesus' name to get away from me. Spirit of addiction, be far from me. Spirit of adoption, come into me now. Say, I love you. I want to hear your voice. The voice of a stranger, I will not follow. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, if a demon in the old covenant was brought to life, that's a big deal. You know, Jesus said that Beelzebub, that's Baal right there. He said he is the devil. So you had all those people worshiping the devil, and they worshiped the devil through sexual sin. Wow. Does that sound like the headlines today? Let's don't be a part of that by any way. Let's denounce sin, and let's move on with our Lord. Who is going to go and somehow get some of that bread, get some of that bread in their system? All right. I love y'all. Thank y'all so much for being here. Mark will be back.